Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings and greetings, blessings of God, blessings of God, and we're alive. We want to thrive and want to drink and ingest and internalize from Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercy. Welcome to Soul Class number 30, Soul being an acronym for S70, original oldest, universal laws, referring to ancient precepts which were given to the mighty Ish Tzadik, Noah, the righteous one, Noah. Principally speaking, we're talking about the soul that we should not be blaspheming the name of the Most High with one of the names of the Most High. Number two, should not be committing acts of idolatry. Number three, we should not be committing acts of premeditated murder. Number four, we should not be connected to any idea of adultery. Number five, we shouldn't be stealing. Number six, we should not be eating the limb of an animal still alive. Number seven, we should enforce and raise up and educate the masses to give charity to tzedakah, acts of righteousness, to educate those who need it, to feed the poor, clothe the naked, heal the sick without consideration from which nation that blessed soul comes from. And tonight, blessed souls, we hope to have another show dedicated to breaking the stigma against reggae music. Recently, I had the pleasure of engaging in several conversations with reggae singer DJ Israel, who also contributed a song track, which is song track number 8, Ultimatum, which is on the popular CD Roots and Rights, produced by reggae music producer Mikey Nichols. Israel comes from a musical family, so composing and performing is not only in his blood, it is the air that he breathes and exhales into this blessed creation, to his blessed African people, and to every nation in this generation that wants to participate in this celebration. I viewed an interview with him that was on YouTube recently, and he expressed his appreciation when any listener of his music can relate to the emotions expressed in his music. This blessed artist, I want to tell you, blessed soul, does not wear his emotions on his sleeve. He expresses them, and he puts not only his emotions, but his soul into his music. And he is interested in a soul-searching expedition to develop a fan base that is really interested in getting into the roots of creation, getting into real roots of reggae, whether it be sung or DJed. And I eagerly await into this rising star who seems from afar that we should find focus our spiritual antenna towards the eastern hemisphere of this blessed world. Please join myself right now, blessed soul, Torah activist, your friendly neighborhood Torah activist, Douglas Goodman, as we explore the outer and inner dimension of reggae music in general, in particular with Israel. So, Havachad, one love, and let us together elicit the blessings from above. Let's see if he's called in yet. Yes, I did have him coming on. Israel!
Yes, shalom. Bless my brother.
shalom. I know when I'm talking for Israel, it's going to be real.
yeah. You don't know. Live and direct.
Okay, so listen, let's get right off the bat. And first of all, shout out a blessing to all the blessed souls who will be listening tonight.
Huh?
Shout out a blessing. Give a blessing to those who are listening tonight to the show.
Yo, bless up to everybody. You know, respect to everybody who tunes into the station, yo. So the biggest thing, respect to all those, you know what I mean? Love and honor in the biggest way, in the highest degree. You know? Yahweh bless you and continue to shine forth his light. You know what I mean? Strength and love.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Bless
that being said, you know, let's talk about your collaboration with the popular CD, Roots and Rights, produced by reggae music producer Mike Nichols. How did you get involved in this very powerful, culturally, spiritually intense recording artistic effort?
Bless it, yeah. Well, as far as the Roots and Rights?
Yes.
Yes, Mike came to me and presented it you know, it's a blessing and an honor to be on here, you know, with such great other artists alongside other artists like Warrior King and Aya Slice, you know, David King, I mean, Ross Emmanuel, Rhythmical Powers, you know what I mean? I can go on. It's 22 artists, and it's a blessing when he brought it to me and asked me to take part of that, you know, and get a song on there. So it's really great, you know. I have a song on there called Ultimatum. You know, it's being promoted all over Jamaica, as you know. And we just give thanks and praise for the project and for the positive feedback and for the ongoing movement. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. The lyrics to Ultimatum, did you compose them after you heard the song, or you had those lyrics already cooking in your head and then the lick came along and you put it to the music? Explain to the blessed souls listening, how does an artist like yourself fuse together a sound with your lyrics?
Well, the thing is, right. Well, every time I write, you see, it comes from the heart, no matter what I'm going through or whatever, you know? So at that time, I was going through, you know, this relationship. It was kind of rough. And basically, when I heard the rhythm, that's what came to me. Like, the rhythm talked to me and said, this is what I should put on it. So I wrote those lyrics to it, you know what I mean? And it just came out, you know, nice over the rhythm, so, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Now, this you're not a rookie in this field, Yisrael. I saw on YouTube, and I've been listening to some cuts before the show, I heard Roots of King David and the song, I think it's Burn Down Babylon, is it? Roots of King David? Correct me if I'm wrong. The name,
Roots of King David.
And there's another cut which I didn't hear, which you told me about a couple times. Substantial
teachings.
Substantial, what is it? Information.
Substantial teachings.
Substantial teachings. Can you grace our radio airs right now with a couple lyrics from that song, and maybe elaborate what inspired you to write such a thought-provoking song?
Yeah, of course. Why not? And it goes, Israel, you don't know. And you them said them one more substantial teachings, eh? For the uplift of humanity, them no want no more false doctrines. So them need some social security. And the youth them said them one more substantial teachings, eh? For the uplift of humanity, them no want no more false doctrines. So them need, yo. This analyze what Babylon teaching, all the wrong things they instruct. No respect they have for the youth, the hurt, not the negos. Never careful, love your government, the way you try so dangerous. Still we conquer all obstacles in front of us, yeah. It's what don't look so, yeah, for salvation, joy at night. Maintaining the upright in heart, keep your trust up in the Most High, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just left some of that, you know what I mean?
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, I want to tell you something. I am someone who follows the teachings, and I consider myself an active student. To someone who lived in our neighborhood, my neighborhood, New York neighborhood, because I know it used to be over here in Irie Heights, Crown Heights, Kessler, Crown Heights.
Right.
And he was direct descendant of King David, and he talked about, you know, it's a little before your time, and it was when I was a Pitney, the hippie movement. If you know, I'm sure you've heard of it, people have heard about it.
He talked about
the discontent of that generation. That the reason they weren't being rebellious for the sake of just rebelling, like a rebel without cause, James Dean. They were rebelling because they wanted something more essential. They wanted to be nurtured in their souls and their minds and their hearts.
Right.
You know, so that reggae music does offer that nurture because, you know, the music is so powerful. I wanted to share with this vibe out Israel that we have teachings about, you know, the traditions of how people prophesize.
Right.
And there was another direct descent of King David that he wrote this about. This is in chapter 7, teaching 4 from Mishnah Torah, laws of the foundation of Torah, which is, you know, I remind people will call it the Old Testament, I call it the Eternal Testament, because something that comes from the Most High through the Levite Levi prophet Moses never told, it just remains eternal. So he goes the following. I'd like you to chime in on this and connect it to how Reggie has inspired the masses. The following I'm going to read out to you and to the blessed audience. All the prophets do not prophesy whenever they desire. Instead, they must concentrate. They must meditate with their attention upon spiritual concepts and seclude themselves, waiting in a happy, joyous mood, because prophecy cannot rest upon a person when he's sad, but only when he's happy. Therefore, the prophets and disciples would always have a harp, drum, flute, and lyre before them when they were seeking prophecy. This is what meant by the expression in Samuel 1, chapter 10, verse 5. Well, they were prophesizing, meaning they were following the path of prophecy. So it actually prophecy, as one might say, so and so aspires to greatness. So it's mentioned out that the prophets and the disciples of the prophets who were seeking the path of prophecy, they would always have a band of musicians. In those days, you know, it wasn't electric guitar and synthesizer and all this other modern stuff, but they had harp, drum, flute, and lyre. So talk about how reggae music has inspired so many people, how it's inspired your life, and maybe go back, way back, what was that first lick that inspired you to make this into a career?
Yeah, well, I grew up listening to reggae music. I mean, that was so greatly put. Let me say that first, the way you said that, you know, because it's true. Music has always been a part of us, you know what I mean? So from the beginning of time, you know, when you go to Africa, you go to Israel, you know, it's all over, even all over the world, basically. You know what I mean? Everybody does music, incorporates music into their life in some kind of way. So basically through slavery and all of that, you know, people used to beat the drum and to get off frustration or talk to the Most High or alleviate stress or communicate with each other. It's a means of communication. So it's a means of uplifting one from a standard that may be down, like you said, and we uplift it to a higher standard. So the message in the music for me is very, very, very important. I'm not here to change anything in any aspect of that way. You know what I mean? How reggae music is. So to me, I feel like I'm just adding on, you know what I mean, I'm having a torch passed to me and I'm doing my part as far as uplifting and communicating what's going on in the world, and whether it's love or you know, what's going on with the system, songs about the Creator, the Almighty. So, that's all I, it's already in me. It's embedded in my soul, my heart, you know what I mean, my mind, so. And it's for people's music. It's up to uplift through the struggle or whatever you're going through, you know what I mean? So that's why reggae music is so profound, and it's reaching the four corners of the earth. It has already. Everybody loves reggae music, whether you go to Afghanistan, right. Anywhere. They know who Bob Marley is.
let me just chime in on that. When you say it's a poor man's music, remember King David himself, who you made an album, Roots of King David, he considers himself a poor man. Because, you know, the righteous, he was a king. A king is not such a poor man. You know, he's got some, as we say, he's got some shkalim, he's got some shekels, he's got some gold, he's got some donos, he's got some falus, as we say in Arabic, he's got some gelt in Yiddish. But what King David is talking about, and I think reggae music embellishes this point, you know, we all come short of the Most High.
Yes.
So we're all kind of like poverty-stricken, but we rejoice in this poverty-stricken state because we realize we can only go up. We can't go further down. And that's what I love about the reggae music, is it's telling people, go up now. You've been put down. You know, the Babylon system, you know, there's been a lot of systems going on. Bless yourself for, you know, for about 2,000 years. And you know, people don't know what's connected to what. But when you make an album called Roots of King David, when something has a root, you know, the branch can get cut off, the leaf can wither, but if the roots are strong, the tree will survive from generation to generation.
Yeah.
You know, so let me just bring out one more point, and I'd like you to elaborate on it, that again, as well as being a poor man's music, but again, in the spirit that I just mentioned, as I just mentioned this teaching from Rambam, the prophets, the seers of the generation, the visionaries, in order to have these higher levels of consciousness, Mm-hmm. Have a happy, joyous, have to be in a happy, joyous mood. So even though we say it's a poor man's music, again, in the spirit, as I mentioned before, no other spirit do I mean it, how is reggae able to be the poor people's music and yet such joyous music? Elaborate on that.
Well, yeah, it's a funny conflict, right? Well, like, as the king said, what does the Father require but a contrite spirit, you know, in Psalm 32. So when you're contrite and humble in spirit, these things pour out fruits of righteousness to help somebody else. You know, if you have everything, you seem to forget sometimes where your blessings stem from and where they come from. So I think, honestly, we have to be in this state because for us to remember, you know, that's what I feel. For us to remember, really, the breath of life, where it comes from, who is giving it, and our strength comes from that, the rock and the foundation, you know what I mean? Yahweh the Almighty, you know? So,
that's
music is life, you know? That's the way I see it.
Beautiful. Can you sing us a little bit from Roots of King David? Is that the opening track to the album?
No, that's track number 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to mention one thing, Rav Israel, that you mentioned you're 32. Now, 32, you know, every Hebrew letter has a numerical value. So it happens mm-hmm. to be that the beginning, the first letter of the Torah, as we mentioned before in Genesis, starts with a basa, which is called bet. And the last letter of the Torah is where it mentions the passing on, the extension or the ascension of the mighty Levi Prophet Moshe, next level of life. It ended with the word Yisrael, which is your name, right? Israel.
Wow.
Now, the last letter is El. Do you take the base at the beginning of the Torah, of the five books of Moshe, and the last letter, you have Lev, which is the numerical value of 32. Now, you said that you tap into your heart. Uwa, the Torah itself, the five books, is a heart that I humbly bless you up with, to looking deeper and deeper. But, you know, you're already digging deep into it because you wrote a book about Roots of King David, and you can't get into the Roots of King David without knowing that, you know, there was something that came before King David. There was Genesis, and then there was the book of Exodus, and the book of Leviticus, and the book of Numbers, and, of course, Deuteronomy. So please, now, check out from, you know, Roots of King David first, please.
Yeah. Oh, you want to hear the lyrics?
Yeah. I want to hear them song though.
Yeah. Well, I stem from the roots of King David. Tell Babylon, I is nothing to go play with, yo. Number one, come testify you and get slayed with. Soon this malign is, you should really come embrace it, yo. I stem from the roots of King David. Tell Babylon, I is nothing to go play with, yo. Number one, come testify you and get slayed with. Soon this malign is, you should really come embrace it. For 100 years of slavery, yes, we had to endure. They couldn't kill we off, they tried to uproot us all. Yeah, we preserve the land, keep us safe and secure. Never neglect the crying of the poor. The Roman soldiers all around us, and I'm off for sin, but dead. The mission is to kill we over, check out the meds. I'm like Daniel, keep on my faith up in the lion's den. Slew them with my sword of righteousness. Well, I and I are stem from the... Ha-ha! That's how it goes.
Beautiful. To go stronger and deeper with your heart, because, you know, I just share with you as an Israelite that, you know, first letter of the Bible starts with a bet, and the last letter ends with a lamed, and that equals, again, the miracle of 32, which is yours. So you're in the heart of your life right now. Rejoice in the heart of your life, man.
Bless, so man, bless. I appreciate that, you know?
Hey, listen, you know, that's why we're vibing. We're out to extend this vibe to add other members to the tribe, as I like to say. You know,
definitely.
Israel, I like to ask you. You know, I see on YouTube that you've collaborated with other artists. I saw the name Dantik. Who is Dantik, and is he an active collaborator with you? What is your relationship with Dantik?
Yeah. Oh, Dantik. Well, I've known him since like 13 years old. So I mean, we've been doing music. Actually, I've been doing music since I was 12. I've been mm-hmm. writing and everything. I used to play the drums and everything. So I've been writing since I was like 12 years old. But I met Dantik like around that age, around 13. And mm-hmm. we linked up for a little bit in the beginning. We did music, and then we lost contact. And we actually did an album together when we came back together. This was like 2006, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We have an album together called the Message. And it's all about mm-hmm. positive works and positiveness, upliftment, and just letting people know what's going on in the world. That's bringing awareness, because everything you hear on the radio now, teach anything mm-hmm. but, you know, vanity. So, you know, as they call our music, underground, basically. So, you know, we're just coming from the underground, trying to uplift, you know what I mean? And bring mm-hmm. people to a higher standard, let them know what's going on in the system and everything. So, yeah, but Don Tigre is my brother still, you know?
Uh-huh. Now, we got about 9 minutes left. So let me ask you, what is the difference? Let me just tell you this. I recently participated. We have a center here in Irie Heights, Keswick, Crown Heights, called the Crown Heights Mediation Center, which one of its functions is to try to bring together the Jewish community over here in Crown Heights with the African diasporic community. And a good friend of mine, Isaac Beton, which I hope you will meet him soon one of these days, made a song, a really hot song. It's one of it's Middle Eastern. He's actually from Morocco, which is part of Africa, and it's called Here Comes the Time. And we actually did a recording session. Eventually, hopefully, we'll go into the studios with him. And he took a bunch of people from the neighborhood, and we had to rehearse about an hour and a half to get it done right. And actually, you can see it on YouTube. But that's another matter. I'll send you a link one of these days. But it was so hard just to walk in and rehearse and to get down the lick. People, explain to the listening audience how it's not as easy as it might seem to record a record and get that sound down. And also, contrast your artistic efforts between you when you sing and when you DJ. Because I know it looks easy, but I'm sure it's not. Can you elaborate on those two concepts, please?
Yeah, well, first of all, being in the studio ready to record, it's not easy. I mean, you have to be vocally prepared, you have to be mentally prepared and spiritually prepared as well, you know what I mean? And physically prepared. You have to have enough sleep to go in there and give it your all, your energy and everything. Uh-huh. So when people are listening to your music, they actually feel your emotion, your soul, everything in it, you know? So you have to memorize your song, all of your lyrics, everything you want to come out, and the sound to make it right, you know? And sometimes you have to take a lot of takes to do that in order to make it stronger or make it more soulful or make it this, you know? So, recording is not an easy thing. But it is easy to those who love doing it. Just like your job, you know, where you love doing, it doesn't feel like work. But it is. You know?
So what about DJing? As an artist, how do you differentiate in terms of, you know, it seems like people are winging it, but I know there's a lot of work that goes into DJing. Because I was a DJ in college, not in the style of reggae dance, just, you know, spinning records. And you really have to come with your A game to keep the people from wanting to listen, you know, to keep the people wanting to listen to your show. So how do you keep that fresh and what seems to be a spontaneous type of presentation of the lyrics? How do you do that?
Yeah, DJing takes a little bit more, I would say, well, they're equally hard, though, but still. But DJing takes a little bit more concentration because, you know, you have to make every word sound, connect with the last word, and, you know what I mean, make everything right and a punchline and everything, and still deliver the message within that while rhyming. So DJing is really, you know, a great thing. While singing takes, it's slower, but then your vocals have to sound more on top of the melody and correct and smooth, you know what I mean? So they're both equally equally hold their weight in the world of, you know, getting it right. So yeah, but DJing is nice too. I love doing it, you know. I DJ, sing, everything. So,
what, deep down, what do you prefer, to DJ or to sing?
Honestly, I like to sing because singing.
You got the voice for it.
Yeah. Because singing, not everybody can catch on to DJing too, though. That's why. And I want children, I want grandparents, I want everybody at every age group to comprehend what I'm saying and let it enter into their soul and let them listen to it, you know what I mean? And let the words wash over their soul. So I honestly prefer singing, but sometimes you hear a track, though, and it calls for DJing, though. You got to let the rhythm talk to you, though, you know what I mean, at the same time.
Right. Now, let me ask you, you just had a show over the weekend. Where did you play and how did it go?
Oh, yeah, that was great. I did two shows, actually. One was for the coronation, mm-hmm. you know, for Haile Selassie first. I give thanks for that movement. That was over there at Recoup Lounge. Illsfree had put that show together. Some big artists came through, Judah, Scandra, and different artists. Yeah, that was nice. And then the other one was Aya Slice birthday party, or Aya Slice Earth Strong. Okay. Yeah, and Bushman, the big artist Bushman, the reggae artist, he was there. He touched the mic. About seven of us, you know what I mean, touched the mic and embraced it. It was blessed, you know?
Now, let me ask you this. When you're on stage, I saw a couple videos of you on stage with other DJ artists. Do you rehearse, or is everything spontaneous? And it must be, you have to be extremely focused to DJ spontaneously if that's what transpires. Explain to the audience, what is it like if you're called on to spontaneously DJ, or do you actually practice before the shows together?
No, actually, honestly, to tell the truth, I never practiced before the show. But
wow.
Because every day I'm singing my songs anyway, so maybe I am doing my own form of practice. But the meditation is always there. For me, honestly, I swear, it's just a conversation when I get on stage. There's no form of nervousness, none of that. All of that goes out the window once you touch the stage, you know what I mean? Because, you know, in your music, there's a message you have to deliver to the people, and that is more important than examining what's going on with yourself, you know what I mean? So I just give thanks for life and the blessing of... The blessing of music, you know?
Beautiful. I like what you said. Now, in that interview that was done, I think it was called Arts and Culture, was it? That was on YouTube. That you mentioned about how you appreciate when the fans pick up on the emotion that you try to express. But as I mentioned in the intro before you came on, it's not the emotions, you know, Ross. It's your soul. Because when you come out with a sound that you never heard before and people say, wow, that's a nice sound, and you empower yourself and empower each other, you know, from our teachings, our tradition in Israel, that means you're getting a what we call gilui nefesh, a revelation of your soul. You're accessing a higher energy, which your blessed mind and heart can access and translate and to communicate to human, you know, communication, speech, and other people vibe on it and it empowers them. Talk about how you feel when, like, someone comes up and says, wow, that song inspired me.
Yeah, well, I mean, yo, it's really an honor. It's a great blessing because, honestly, when you write a song, you're just sitting down. It's your thoughts and your perspective on the world and see what's going on. And honestly, every time I write, to tell the truth, I pray that Yahweh would give me the words, Ashadayah, the spirit, the Ruach, to give me the inspiration and give me the words that I can write and reach the people and the melodies and everything like that. So
beautiful.
when I hear people come to me after the show and say, wow, that song really reached me, or they said they was listening to this CD and they cried when they hear a song like Suffer, you know, a song about poverty or anything like that, because it's just an overwhelming... It's an overwhelming feeling, though, and it's a blessing, and I'm really glad that I can be used as a tool to uplift people from their standard or whatever they are, to uplift them. It's just a blessing, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So listen, we have about 40 seconds to go. I just want to sign up to be... Don't go off the air. Please, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. Sing to the... Let's end the show with you. Sing ultimatum. This is Don Zitigubin. Ahava chadaron, love, God, have wonderful things for all the soul. If you can please sign up and give us all an ultimatum from Roots and Light reggae music.
Yeah. It goes. So, baby, here's your ultimatum. Take my loving or leave it, because I ain't got no time for games. I'll show you what you're made of, what you never did receive it. And now you wonder why you changed, baby. Here's your ultimatum. Take my love and or leave it, cause I ain't got no time for games. I show you what I'm made of, but you never did receive it. And now you wonder why you changed. Say you want to be the woman in my world. Oh, yes. Say you want to raise a family and have it all. Have it all. Oh, oh. Open your eyes and see that this is real, no joke. Oh, yes. You got to change the ways and be a bright, you know. So, baby, here's your ultimatum. Yeah.
Beautiful. Shalom aleichem. We'll be in touch with ourselves. Lamshich to be continued because we never want to end with this powerful stream of destigmatizing reggae music and seeing it and recognizing the music is part of the process of ushering universal redemption. Big up Israel. Shalom.
Bless. Shalom. Shalom. Thanks for having me here. Bless.
No problem.